Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to put yourself in Thomas's position. Now, the text that we have for our gospel lesson, our second lesson for tonight, is a chunk of what we have on Quasimodogenity, that is, the second Sunday of Easter. And it makes sense, it is fitting, that on the day that the church remembers St. Thomas, this is our text. Thomas is known as one of the 12. He is called by Jesus to follow him, to learn from him. And then he would also be called to go out and proclaim the gospel from him. But Thomas is forever known as a doubter. In fact, we still have in our common parlance, when someone does not believe something, we call them a doubting Thomas. And rightly so, Thomas shows his ignorance here. He should have believed when his brothers shared the message with him, and yet he doesn't. But again, I want you to put yourself in his position. He, for whatever reason, was not gathered with the other disciples, the other 10 men that had followed Jesus. Judas had already put an end to things, and so now it was just the 11. And on the day that they should have been prepared to go to an empty tomb to celebrate the resurrection, because Jesus told them time and time and time again that death could not control him, that yes, he would go on to die, but then rise, Thomas is not there. The Bible does not tell us why Thomas isn't there, but we know that it is important that he should have been there. We see Jesus on that first Sunday of his resurrection be with his disciples and proclaim a beautiful message to them. They were terrified. Instead of believing the words that Jesus, their master, their Lord, had proclaimed to them, they were afraid of what would happen next. Their leader had been killed, and now they were afraid that the Jews were going to do the same to them. And so they are gathered behind locked doors, and Jesus appears to the 10, and he says, "Peace to you." In the middle of your most frightened time, when you are the most scared you've ever been in your life, Jesus comes to you, and he says, "Peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." Jesus' peace surpasses all understanding. The world tries to give you comfort, but it always fails. It lets that hole inside of you continue to be there as you stuff it with all sorts of things that will not hold. But in the midst of that, Jesus comes to completely fill you. Jesus says, that place that you feel something missing, I am the one who fills it. I fill it with my word. I fill it with my sacraments. I have washed you. I have made you clean. You have received the adoption as sons, as St. Paul writes to the Ephesians. You have been made sons of God the Father Almighty by the adoption that is holy baptism. That makes you a son and a full heir with all of the riches that the Father has to give. Peace to you. Yes, the nations rage, the seas rage, all of these things are meant to scare you, and yet Jesus says, peace. So Jesus comes to the 10 and he says, peace to you. Now, our text takes place in the time between Jesus visiting the 10 and the next Sunday. And so the 10 go to Thomas and they say, guess what? You sure missed it. You know how the ladies, they came and they said, we've seen that the tomb is empty. We've heard the message that Jesus is not there. He is risen. And yet they didn't believe the women either. But now those 10 men tell Thomas, we've seen him. It's true. What they said is true. What he told us had been true. It is fulfilled. Jesus is risen. And Thomas doubts. And more than doubting, he makes a bold confession. He says, "Unless I see in the hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." It's a bold confession. And it is a confession that leads to damnation. But thanks be to God, Jesus did not leave him in that confession. Rather, on the next Sunday, and every Sunday therefore, Jesus comes to his people. Jesus comes and grants you that peace. You hear the words each Sunday, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." And your response is, "Amen." That is, "Yes, yes, it shall be so. I so firmly believe that the peace of the Lord is with me that I will put my stamp on it. I will take it as my own. Yes, the peace of the Lord is with me always." Jesus comes to them on that next Sunday morning. And now Thomas is gathered with them. And Jesus comes in with the same words that he came in the Sunday prior. He says, "Peace to you." Jesus comes to them even with locked, tight doors. This shows us that while he is fully man, he is fully God. He has picked back up the full use of his divinity. And he comes through a wall and locked doors. And he gives them peace. He doesn't allow Thomas to stutter here. Rather, he immediately says to Thomas, he says, "Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas has an opportunity here. He can remain in the hardness of his heart, a hardness and a confession that leads to the devil and damnation. Or he can allow God to change his heart. Thomas, who had followed Jesus for the last 3 years, was moved by the Holy Spirit to do the latter. He hears Jesus. He sees Jesus. And he cries out. He cries out a new confession. A confession that should be on the lips and in the hearts of every single Christian. He cries out before his Lord, "My Lord and my God." This is a confession that Jesus Christ is fully God, begotten of the Father before all eternity, and yet fully man. Jesus is our Lord. We are to look to him and to submit to him as we would a lord, a prince, a king, with our whole being. Jesus is our God. He is the word by which everything was made. In him is life. My Lord and my God. Thomas was rebuked by Jesus. And the Holy Spirit came upon him and worked that salvation and that faith in him once again. Jesus would respond, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We live almost 2,000 years past this time, and we have many blessings that many of them did not have. We have the entirety of the scriptures written for us to read God's word, to hear God's word, believe and be saved. Thomas got to see his Lord in the flesh. And we wait for our Lord's return. Blessed are you that believe that the Lord, that Jesus Christ, is your God, your Lord, and the only hope of salvation. For without even seeing him in the flesh, you believe these things. You eat his body, you drink his blood every Sunday morning to be filled with the forgiveness of sins. Blessed are you when you believe, even though you did not have the opportunity to see as Thomas saw. It's unfortunate that we always remember Thomas as doubting Thomas, because really he is also believing Thomas. He is the one who gave us this beautiful confession, my Lord and my God. And Thomas would take that confession all the way to his martyrdom. Thomas was sent out by Jesus to go and preach, to teach, to administer the sacraments, to fulfill that great commission. It is long held that Thomas went all the way to India and founded a number of churches in the name of Jesus. Thomas would see an end of his earthly life with a spear, being martyred, that is, dying, giving a confession of who Jesus is. And so while we remember him as doubting Thomas, I want you to also remember him as believing Thomas, as confessing Thomas, as the martyr, as the saint, made holy not because of who he is, but because of who Jesus is. May his confession be ours. May his boldness in the end of his life be ours as well. The church sings, all praise, O Lord, for Thomas, whose short-lived doubtings prove your perfect twofold nature, the fullness of your love. To all who live with questions, a steadfast faith afford, and grant us grace to know you, true man, yet God and Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.